beware the doctors. What we call science is often something very unscientific. What gets funded and marketed as a scientific finding may have little to do with disinterested inquiry. For years, tobacco companies produced scientific studies proving that cigarettes were harmless. Oil interests still promote a handful of scientists who tell us that global warming isn't happening or isn't all that serious. The chemical industry sponsors scientific research demonstrating the supposedly benign nature of pesticides and herbicides, and pharmaceuticals have funded tests showing that various medications are perfectly safe when in fact they eventually have to be taken off the market as dangerous. Many established scientific opinions have been little more than embellished beliefs masquerading as objective findings. This seems especially true of the medical and psychiatric sciences. Thus, for centuries, in service to male supremacy and colonial domination, learned men in Western society produced supposedly scientific findings on the natural inferiority of women and the mental and moral deficiencies of the darker races and lower classes, the latter also referred to as the dangerous classes. Medical and psychiatric practitioners have treated illnesses by launching punishing assaults upon the stricken patients themselves. In earlier times, persons with serious physical complaints were bled, scalded, made to ingest sickening concoctions, and burned with mercury. They had their fractured limbs amputated regularly or were subjected to all kinds of mutilating surgery, often with fatal results. Doctors spread lethal diseases by remaining steadfastly indifferent to minimal hygienic practices. During the early and mid-20th century, when tonsils became inflamed from resisting bodily infection, doctors would routinely solve the problem by surgically removing the tonsils, as if the organ were offending rather than defending the organism. If the stomach suffered from ulcers, rather than treating the cause of the ulcers, the stomach itself was surgically attacked, with its ulcerated portions being cut out. And by mid-century, hysterectomies became all the rage. Whenever fibroids, that is, benign tumors, formed on the uterus, the entire uterus would be removed, still a common practice. So today, gallbladders are routinely excised for doing their job of forming stones out of the impurities that accumulate in the body. For the last half century, cancer has been treated with a slash, burn, and poison strategy designed to destroy those body cells that have succumbed to the cancer pathogen while doing little for killing the pathogen itself. Meanwhile, alternative cancer treatments continue to be suppressed by the multi-billion-dollar cancer industry and their allies in the Food and Drug Administration. A close friend of mine was urged by her knife-happy physician to have her perfectly healthy ovaries removed because there was, he said, a 5% chance that cancer might develop. Persons judged to be mentally disturbed were similarly attacked, incarcerated, often for a lifetime, verbally abused, beaten, bound, gagged, starved, isolated, and drugged. Among the illnesses treated during the 19th and early 20th centuries were nymphomania, masturbatory insanity, and disruptive behavior of almost any sort. Psychiatrists and physicians long believed that hysteria was a malady caused by disturbances in the uterus, hence an exclusively female disease to be cured by removing the ovaries of insane women. More recently, mental patients have been heavily medicated, electrically shocked, or lobotomized. The troubled brain is treated as the troublesome brain, as if the victims themselves were the problem rather than their illness. Most of the patients so treated are in public asylums and are mostly from low-income groups. Beware the doctors. They frequently think they know more than they do.